This afternoon was quite an adventure. And I want to point out to you that many times when we hear the Lord, sometimes there's a fog that comes. Because he does come and he does release, but the fog comes after. How many know what I'm talking about? You get a word, you gotta go, you go forward, and then, like, oh, I wonder. Well, I want to go with you to Romans chapter 2. And I want to speak to you a little bit about St. Paul's journey with the Romans, because they were a little bit Italian. So we're not picking on the Italians tonight, but they were a little bit Italian. Okay? Mediterranean. If you qualify, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, the Romans were very similar to everyone else around. It just happens to be their letter. Okay? So we could be writing to the house of prayer. If it was St. Paul's letter to the house of prayer, it would be the same thing. And to those of you who live in this region, he would be talking about those who live in the valley. Amen? Verse 8 is the one that I want you to kind of really push forward out of that whole word, and it is going to be using the Amplified, okay? So, but for those who are self-seeking and self-willed and disobedient to the truth, but responsive to wickedness, there will be indignation and wrath. Self-will has a circle around it in my Bible, because I have problem with self-will. Now, I probably am the only one in New England that has this problem. But self-will gets me in trouble, and self-seeking is related to it. So again, but for those who are self-seeking and self-willed, disobedient to the truth, but responsive to wickedness, there will be indignation and wrath. Now you say, well, that's not us. No, but if it identifies something that's in you, then you got to do something about it. This is not a condemning word. This is a caution word. If you are focused on all the things you want for me, myself, and I, you can definitely identify three gods. Amen? Because many of us worshipped at that temple for a long, long time. I did. And I didn't even know I was doing it. I didn't realize the fullness of my own deception. Then it says, verse 9, there will be tribulation and anguish and calamity and constraint for every soul of man who habitually, is in parentheses, but it gives you a little emphasis, does evil. First for the Jew and also for the Greek. So he's trying to say to them, doesn't matter what your background is, if you qualify, you need to change it. Amen? Then it says, verse 10, but glory and honor and heart peace shall be awarded to everyone who habitually does good. First for the Jew and also for the Greek. So in other words, the Lord is speaking through Paul that there's a choice to be made when we begin to see how he wants us to mature. Now, when we first realize that we are self-seeking, it's usually because we've seen something or heard something or had an emotional response on the inside, and we see ourselves in something kind of on a dark shadow. We blame the enemy. How many have had that problem before? Well, it's the enemy's fault. Well, I got news for you. It's also your fault, because you inherited weaknesses. Amen? And if you inherited weaknesses, you might see some of those same weaknesses in your mom and dad, grandparents, aunts and uncles, and we call them family traits. I call them family heirlooms, because it gives us a bunch of excuses to keep on going. Okay? And we treasure them, because after all, Mom was like this, so what's the big deal? She survived. What about me? Well, God says you got to get rid of it. Because seeking self and self-will is the same thing. Amen? Disobedient to the truth. Well, what is the truth? Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So therefore, if that truth, named Christ Jesus, was sitting next to you, and you were having one of these little pity parties on, this heirloom of mine, I just feel like having 3 cups of coffee this morning instead of one. Or whatever the excuse may be, I don't think I'll go to bed tonight. I'll watch TV till 2. And then you're late for work the next day. Or you're pooped. How many can relate to those things? Because that's what we do. We excuse it away. But the Lord is saying to you tonight, you need my help to change it. How many have got still a few weaknesses that they still put up with? Thank you. Well, those same weaknesses are in your brothers and your sisters. It says in God's word, pray for one another that you may be. Now, it's a lot easier to see the neighbor's problem versus seeing your own. Amen? How many would like to identify their own problem first? Oh, come on, Kim. Am I all alone in this room? Would you choose to identify your own problem first? Thank you. Make a choice. Yes. I want to see my own problem. Well, how do I do it? Well, let's go backwards. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, you have no excuse or defense or justification, O man or woman, whoever you are who judges and condemns another. For in posing as judge and passing sentence on another, you condemn yourself. Because you who judge and are habitually practicing the very same things. So if you get real irritated about your neighbor's flaw, guess what? The very same flaw is in you. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't even be hinting about their having a problem. Amen? You see, there's a reason that verse 1 is identifying that which you don't like about yourself. Because he wants you to be changed. Verse 2 says, but we know that the judgment, adverse verdict, or sentence of God falls justly and in accordance with truth upon those who practice such things. And do you think or imagine, O man, when you judge and condemn those who practice such things and yet do them yourselves, that you will escape God's judgment or elude his sentence or his adverse verdict? Verse 4. Or are you so blind as to trifle with and presume upon and despise and underestimate the wealth of his kindness and forbearance and long-enduring patience? Are you unmindful or actually ignorant of the fact that God's kindness is intended to lead them to repentance? After all, it's the neighbor's fault. Is that what God's word is saying there? Or is it a different word? It says, God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. I'm the one he's working with. Not you correcting your neighbor. Even though it's so much easier to correct the neighbor. It's actually God's plan for you to see yourself. So, when you see all these things, if you're interceding for them to be changed, what's going to happen for you? You're going to get healed. Job chapter 42. Pray for your wonderful friends that have been so kind to you in your test. Intercede for them because they've been so sweet to you. They tried to help you all the way through your big test. Is that the truth? Or were they an irritation all the way through the test? And then the Lord says, okay, Job, will you pray for these wonderful guys? And he bit his teeth, probably grit himself into another tight space and said, yes. With all the strain that he could, in order to what? Overcome those judgments, the criticalness, the fault finding, and all the things that he saw. And he made a choice to pray for them, but what was the fruit of his prayer? Double the back. Guess what? We're having an interruption. All teasing aside, even with phone calls, we can go by this word. It is intended to lead you to repent and to change your mind and inner man to accept the devil's will. To accept whose will? To accept God's will. Is it God's will for you to be tested? Does it feel good to be tested? No. But is it intended for you to see yourself? Yes. So then what do you do? What? How many of you have tried to change yourself and not too happy about the results? Well, then you got a Savior. If I remember correctly, his name is Savior, Redeemer, Deliverer, Healer, Restorer, and etc., etc., etc. Yes? Counselor, Comforter, etc., Lover. Amen? Now, if I really love you, I'm going to go to bat for you. Amen? I will take care of what you don't know how to do. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He went to the cross to carry your sin and your failures, and he said, I'll take care of it if you turn it over to me. Now, in my experience, I usually turn it over and then I take it back. And I turn it over and I take it back. And my problem is that I don't leave it with him and celebrate the victory. How many know without faith you can't please God? Mark 11, 24 says, believing you have received it will be done unto you. Mark 11, 24. Can you write that one down? Don't forget it. Because without faith, you're not going to make it. So you have to believe that Jesus already took the problem for you and thank him that he is now in charge. Well, his kindness is intended to lead you to repent, to change your mind, and the inner man to accept God's will. The inner man is your spirit. So your spirit sometimes will want to go its own way. Your mind, will, and emotions want to go its own way. But the Spirit of God says, would you turn it over to me? Would you let me help you through, and I will set you free? Now, verse 5 is a little bit difficult, but I want to be obedient. But by your callous stubbornness and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath and indignation for yourself on the day of wrath and indignation, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. But you see, there will be a day where you will be called to account. And some people think that's when you go before the judgment seat of Christ. I'd like to say it's today. It's right now. It's seeing yourself for who you are, being able to go to the cross with it right away, and get it taken care of now. Why wait? Amen? Verse 6, for he will render to every man according to his works. justly as his deeds deserves. To those who by patient persistence in well-doing. How many find a little problem with patience once in a while? Well, if you're persevering and you're going forward by choice, as you go forward by choice, you will find that your persistence in well-doing will increase your capacity for your words and your actions to be changed. And as you believe that Jesus Christ is in charge, there will be times that you're going to fall into that great big ugly pit again. But don't live there. I had a word today for one person, and I said, Lord, how do I call a house where there's like two unbelievers and one believer? And I don't know who's going to answer the phone, and I don't know who's going to answer the call or calling machine or answering machine. And I said to the Lord, what do I do? If I get the wrong person, you know, I might create another storm. Did you ever create a storm when you did it wrong? So I heard call, and sure enough, the machine came on. And I heard myself say, because now I got the answer. This is the message for you. You need to read Romans 8:1. Nothing else, just Romans 8:1. I figured if it's an unbeliever, let him find out. And so I don't know the results, and I don't need to know the results. All I know is I found a way to release the word without an irritation. I thought that was pretty good, don't you? I'm not going to take any credit because the Lord certainly had to bring that to my heart. But, you know, I repeated it twice and released it. Now, I haven't gotten any fruit yet, but because my sister prayed over those, I'm looking for that nice red apple there. Amen? Okay. Again, verse 7, to those who by patient persistence in well-doing, springing from piety, seek for unseen glory, honor, and immortality. He will give eternal life. So you're to seek these things. You're to look for glory. You're to look for immortality. And you're to look for honor. Many times when I see myself searching for the things that God is trying to change in me, and I see that this self-will overrules God's plan. How many know that that's pretty difficult? Well, the answer is humbling yourself before God. James 4:7. Humble yourself before God. And He... See, if you rely on His abilities rather than your own, you will find success. It may be a journey, but you will find it. And so be patient with yourself. But part of that patience that He wants you to develop there is with yourself. It's not just with the neighbors. It's with me. See, the intent of the heart, verse 1, because you who judge and are habitually practicing the very same things. Well, who's he talking about? He's talking about me. He's talking about you and I. Changing it. Not to be focused on everyone else's problem, but to be focused on our own circumstances. And not to be deceived. I'd like to take you back to verse 8. But for those who are self-seeking and self-willed and disobedient to the truth, but responsive to wickedness, there will be indignation and wrath, and there will be tribulations and anguish and calamity and constraint for every soul of man who habitually does evil, first for the Jew and the Greek. But glory and honor and heart peace shall be awarded to everyone who habitually does good. How many ever heard themselves after they've done something right, and the enemy says, they don't really care? Or the thought says, you did all this work, and now what have you accomplished? And you did the work, and the deception continues. We need some hands over here. Father, we release grace to this one right now. And we ask for your grace and your mercy right now. Not next week, not next year, right now. And we release that peace that surpasses understanding. Your faithfulness, Lord Jesus, is for this one as well, as all those who are listening to this message. And I believe, Lord Jesus, that you are more than able to heal the wounds and to heal the cause of the pain and to go forward in obedience by the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Take a deep breath, sweetheart. Come on, way down deep and let it go. Set them free and set yourself free. Because Jesus says, if we are faithful to ask for forgiveness, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful to forgive us. Amen? Can you declare it with me? Say, Lord Jesus, I repent. I'm changing my mind. And I'm asking you to heal me. I'm receiving the forgiveness you've provided on that cross. Not just for the neighbors, but for me as well. Amen? And I'm choosing to receive the forgiveness that you've offered for me. Amen? Take a deep breath. One more time. Way down deep. Father, we thank you for the peace that surpasses understanding, because that's your gift to her. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Now, you know, you say, well, this can be an emotional ride. It can be difficult. Yes, it can. But the love of Christ in the body of believers is to sustain one another, to pray for one another. Amen? And as we are obedient, the Lord will continue his process of restoration. You know, when we have a breakthrough and we begin to see, oh my God, he's interested in me. It's not the other guy. It's all about what he wants to do in It's all about what? What God wants to do inside of me. And he's going to do it, because that's his way. He is a healer, he's a restorer, and he is focused on getting you free. That's what this word is for today. So again, verse 11, for God shows no partiality, undue favor, or unfairness. With him, one man is no different than another. All who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. But all who have sinned under the law will be judged and condemned by the law. For it is not merely hearing the law being read that makes one righteous before God, but it is the doers of the law who will be held guiltless and acquitted and justified. If you don't see verse 13, you're in trouble. It is not merely the hearing of the law. When it's read, it's wonderful and makes one righteous before God, but it is the doing or the doers of the law who will be held guiltless, acquitted, and justified. Is that what your Bible says? So if you do the work of forgiving, if you do the work of repentance and changing your mind and accept God's will, you know, when someone is wounded by experiences over and over and over, we get to the point we make vows to ourselves. And we kind of lock all the doors. Amen? And nobody's going to get into my heart. But God says tonight, It's time to unlock those doors. It's time to let the Holy Spirit come in. It is really the doing of the repentance that changes us. It is really the changing of our minds that removes the guilt. And it acquits us, and then the blood of the Lamb justifies us. See, Jesus didn't die just for the neighbors. He died for who? Me and you. Would you put your hand over your heart, please? Close your eyes. Father God, I believe tonight. I believe with these brothers and sisters that the blood of Jesus Christ has washed away our guilt. I want you to declare it with me. Lord Jesus, your blood has justified me. Romans 5:9 guarantees it. I've been justified in the courts of heaven. And Jesus already paid the price. It's about time I wear the badge. No more guilt. No more self-condemnation. Because Jesus paid the price. And I am justified. Guiltless. Totally free. It's up to me. Either I accept it as a reality. And I believe that He's done it for me. Or He's done it for everyone else but me. It's up to me. As for me and my house, I believe He did it for me. Look at your neighbor and say, I believe He did it for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, Lord Jesus. We honor you as Lord and King of all that's happening right now. And that the circumstances that happen to each of us are not hopeless, but they are just a way of us learning to intercede for those who have broken us, rejected us, and hurt us. And those of you who are listening to this message, I ask that the Holy Spirit will confirm this word to you, and that you would be able to taste of the peace that surpasses understanding. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen. Thank you, Lord.